Today is Lamed Gimel Baomer. We're holding on to Gimel and Yibamot. And the year is Tavshei Samach Zayin of the 6th millennia, for those of you who made it across the divide. And we're at analyzing over here the Seder of the Mishnah. So what we got up to was that the Gemara first determined that it can't be that we're interested really in the Seder of the Yevamot. Because if we were, then we would have started from Achot Ishto, which is the model for all of the Pturim of Yevam. And therefore we're forced to conclude that we're looking here basically at the Seder in terms of the Arayot. And therefore the order in terms of the Arayot we thought would be in terms of the Chumrah, which are was more Chumrah. But we showed that that's not possible, because basically we ended up with Kalato and so on in the wrong place. And so something is wrong over here, but I think we were in the middle still of the explaining the early part of the Seder, and we wanted to come to use Chavivut as the excuse for putting things in this order. So the last thing we learned was that Bito, starting on the bottom of Amud Beis, just to begin the words of Bito, Ela Bito kiven da'atu midrasha chavivale. So the reason that we had Bito first was because that's the only erva that we have to learn out of the pasuk from a drasha. That's the Gemara. But all of the dinim are learned here from a drasha, because they're all learned from Achot Ishto, which the Gemara responds again, but we've already established that we're not talking about Yibum. So Nehida in Yibum Atin Midrasha. It's true that the Ptur of Yibum comes from a drasha, and therefore all would be equally Chavi from Achot Ishto, but obviously that's not the order, because we don't have Achot Ishto first. The only place, however, that we have the Bito where Iker Isura Midrash, the actual Erva comes from a drasha. That's where we got up to. And since what we are interested in over here is the Seder of Erva, not the Seder of Yibum, makes sense to put the Chaviv first, the Chaviv being Bito. What exactly is that drasha? The Omar Rava Omar Li Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi pointed out that we have two separate psukim, basically, two separate, in a sense, inyonim in Erva, because we have the Ervat Isha Ubita, Lo Tegal Ervatan. That's referring to a woman that you're married to, Isha. There it says, Ervat Bena, Ervat Bita, so that's Bat Isha, but only if you're married to her. Bat Bena of that Isha, Bat Bita of that Isha, which of course extends in both directions. But it doesn't say anything over there about a woman that you had a casual relationship with, if you call rape casual. But casual in the sense of that there's no Isha. There's no ishut that's involved. However, that pasuk ends with the word sha'ara hina, zimahi. So it's completely extra sha'ara hina. So he pointed out to me that ervat bat bincha, o bat bitcha, which says nothing about how you had that then, or bat, whether it was casual, or married, it's irrelevant. It's your granddaughter through your son, or your granddaughter through your daughter, that is also. Doesn't matter how you got it. And there it says too, ki ervatcha hena. Now it's true that it doesn't say a word over there about your daughter. So you'd say, well, my daughter should be included in a woman and her daughter. No, that's only when you're married to the woman. But if my granddaughter is us, or certainly my daughter is us, well, that makes sense, but you can't use what makes sense to give you an azor in the Torah and an anish in the Torah. Ein mazrim min adin, mein onashim min adin. How do you know that there's a chiyuv on a bat? Therefore comes along Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi and taught me, says Rava, which is curious, as Tosfos points out, since Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi was actually Rav's Rebbe, not Rava's Rebbe. They couldn't have been contemporaries. And he concludes there must have been two Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimis. But in any event, he pointed out to me that we have over here the same word occurring in both psukim, the Arvat Bat Bincha O Bat Bitcha, which is talking about a casual offspring, it says here Ervat Chahina, and Ervat Ishal Bita, but Benao Bat Bita, there it also says Shara Hena. That Hena teaches me that just like the Bat is included in the case of the woman and her daughter, it's included in the case of the means to a child and her daughter, meaning your own daughter, which is the important thing in that case. And how do I know that there's a chiyuv, by the way, of Srefa on all the above cases? whether it's the daughter that you had casually or the daughter that you had from a marriage, that I know because the word for Ervat Yishol Bita, Sha'arahina concludes, Sha'arahina Zimahi. Zimahi is the word, that word Zima appears also in the one place where it says Be'esh Tisrofa, which is the Chabot over there. It says also Ervat Chayena, She'arahina, and then by Sreifa it says Zimahi, Be'esh Yisrofu. So Be'esh Yisrofu means that Zima is a key to Sreifa. Oh, so now we know that there's a din of Sreifa in all of these Yishol Bita relationships, or Bat relationships. Okay, but that means that the whole term, and that's major, the whole idea comes from a drush. So that comes first. Well, okay, I mean, even assuming that's true, so then, but still, lisne lakotisha lebisof, I mean, but if that's the organization, so at least let's now refer back to the akotisha, which is a din in Yibam all the way at the end. I mean, what's it coming here right smack bang in the middle? Take a look at the organization. We start over here with the Bita, okay? Then we move on to Isur Akhvita. We're talking about all of the relations that are now brother-sister relationships, okay? So once we're talking about that, even though those are blood relationships, your own sister and so on, but once we're talking about that, we'll talk about also Akhotishto. Why don't we just put the whole piece all the way at the end? I mean, what was the point of necessarily moving on to Achot after Bat? That way you could have had everything in between, the Drosha Chaviva for Erva at the beginning, the non-related, except through marriage, Achot Isha, which is the din of Yibam that defines all of them, at the very end. So you still haven't explained the organization of the Mishnah. You just explained the opening. How about the rest? Well, we've already established we're talking about Arayot. Okay, Arayot have to do with sanguinity. How close are they to you? So the Mishnah is going basically in order of blood relationships. Korvin, korvin, arka. We start with what's closest to you. So your daughter, your granddaughter, those are korvei atzvot, direct sharing of your genes through you, as opposed to Akhvita. Thus it brings a raya that when it comes to erva, we always view its direct genetic connection, even though it may have the same number of shared genes, as more related to you, in the sense of a child being your extension, even though you may have the same number of related genes with your sister, even more than with the granddaughter and so on. But that's not the point. The point is over here, blood. We talk about blood is not necessarily genetic. We view it as coming directly from you. Okay. And that Tosis proves, as we'll see in a moment, that that seems to be Machlokas Rashi and Tosis here. But in any event, we talk about first the direct krovim to you. Once we spoke about your three generations, so the daughter and the daughter and the granddaughter, so we talked about three dorot now over here. I did the Tanish Roshad dorot lamata today. Once we spoke about your three generations, we talk about a woman and her three generations because it's the only thing that's similar. Your daughter and granddaughter through your son and through your daughter, her daughter and granddaughter to her son and daughter, that makes sense. Even though it may not be, again, genetically or in terms of your blood. But nonetheless, once it already matches, we said that. So we said, Shalosh Dorot, now, Lamata Dida. Once we already said the Shalosh Dorot, Lamata Dida, then we have no choice but to note that the inverse is also true. Because your mother-in-law or your grandmother-in-law through your father-in-law or through your mother-in-law is essentially comes from that same exact issue. A woman and her daughter and her granddaughter through her son or through her daughter. So if you start at the end, you move back up, you got back to your grandmother-in-law. And the woman is your grandmother-in-law when you took the granddaughter first. You start with the granddaughter. What's the difference? You start with the granddaughter or you start with the grandmother. It's the same thing, basically. They all turn into grandmothers in the end anyway. So. That was what was it, Reagan who once said, I can't believe I'm married to a grandmother. It doesn't matter. That I'm a grandfather, doesn't matter. But that I'm married to a grandmother, how did that happen? Yes, indeed. Okay, so it says, Shalosh Dorot L'mala Bida. Okay, then we move on to the next order of closeness, which is fraternity. So we talk about Achoto, and then already we're talking about Achva, we talk about Achotimo. Those are all Krovei Atzma. Okay, now, Now you can excuse the fact that talking about achva, the thing that matches achva, zachot ishto, so that comes in right there in the order of achva, not because of its relationship to yibun and the model that it serves, but because it's similar to the other achva, so it talks about achot ishto. Now, it's true that at this point, we should have moved on to kalato. The next case is Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olama. And Kalato ought to come before that, because, I mean, the Lomishum Kurva with the Asira. The case of the Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olama is not an Isser's directly because of Kurva. It's an Isser essentially through somebody else's marriage. A child, you could say, is your own. Now, here's the question. So why should Kalato come first? It's also through marriage. So Rashi says, why would I say that a daughter-in-law ought to come before a sister-in-law? Only because the case of the daughter-in-law, given that I can't now define which is closer, let me then switch to the order of which is chomer. Since Kalato is more chomura, because that's the only one here that's the mita, except for the ones that were listed before, which were b'sreifa, she's b'skila. But certainly between the three cases over here of the brother, a sister-in-law from your brother through a shared mother, and a sister-in-law was achiv shalaya ba'olamo, so that we've got three relatives basically that are married through marriage. Okay, so they're all the same. What do we look at? But, I mean, Kalato is so much more obviously chomer, it ought to come first. That's how Tosfos learns. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says that, no. It's not that we've given up, once something is through marriage, that we've given up on the nature of kirva, because, look, I mean, all along we've been talking about kirva, including marital kirva, a woman and her daughter. Well, it's like stam that's entirely agav. There's a nature element of kirva. Once that's true, I need to point out to you, says Tosfos, that a child is more considered to be your relative in terms of erva than a brother is. Now that, in other words, than a sister, in other words, than fraternal relationships. Although it's true that that doesn't necessarily apply to the dinim of edut, let's say, kirva in terms of edut. But it's clear that over here, it does. And he says that's the organization over here. When it comes to Erva, he says, take a look in the Tosfos, four lines down from the larger lines in Tosfos. Al korchach le'inyan arayot, eshet b'no krovat ve'mi eshet ach. There's no choice but to say that a son's wife is closer to you than a brother's wife. Because we could see that in the Mishnah. The logic of it is, Shaben kare de'avohu. We view a child as an extension, an extended self. But my proof to this is that in the organization of the Mishnah, it starts first with bito bat bito. Now, genetically, that's not excusable. Or in terms of edut, that's not excusable. But clearly we're saying that bat bito is krove atzmo, we call, tvei me'achoto. That's called more of your relative than your sister is. So you may analyze the number of shared genes, but that's not clearly how we're describing it over in terms of the mission. So we view something that can be seen as a direct line, lineage, is closer in terms of erva than simple genetics, which is a surprise. Now, Rashi rejects that. Okay, Rashi says the only reason why we would put Kalato first is because it's more chomer, so we're going to switch to another organization. Because once we're not talking about marital relationships, they're all basically the same, because none of them share your genes. And the only reason that we talked about the cases before was because they matched other cases. Your wife's daughter matched your daughter. Your wife's sister matched your sister. Once we're talking about that quality, we threw in the others. But since these don't match any qualities, they ought to all be the same. Throw the marriage relationships, the in-law relationship.
Chinese tea.
The in-law relationships that's down to the bottom. As it, this comes along with horse's milk, I assume. Good. That's, they just discovered this, that apparently vodka, some of the vodkas are made using horse's milk.
Really?
It's the latest discovery. It came out last week. They always come out with something new for kashrus issue. I mean, that's obviously. I mean, what else would you make last?
Who knew?
This was in the news. They had this kashrus conference. And this was the latest news.
Must have been expensive vodka. I mean,
Well, I don't know. Back in the States, they don't have a problem getting horses milk.
For them.
Yeah, I know. Don't worry.
For a
time, you know, you're going to have a loan check on the end of the world. Very nice. Very nice indeed. A treat. All right, so we had a very interesting point, Sylvia, but we've worked out now the Seder and the Mishnah. It's beautiful. So we now understand the whole Mishnah. We're not following the Seder of Yibum, we're following the Seder of Arayot, which anyway makes a heck of a lot of sense, because it would explain why we start with Yivamot. Some of the Rishonim actually point this out. Big Bachelor is Rishonim why we start Nashim with Yivamot, because I mean, the Pashto says, anyway, Yevamot is such a rare occasion. You know, why start off Seder Dashim with it, right? So Torah said, besides that, we generally don't like to start things off bad. I mean, start off with Yevamot, you know, I mean, it's not exactly the way you like to think about life. It's all wrapped in death. But Tosis actually uses that as an excuse for starting with Yevamot. Because since Moed Katan, which is death, ends Moed, so we just move on, you know, once already. Okay.
While we're in the neighborhood.
Yeah, while we're in the neighborhood. It's a rather weak approach. But the Rambam's approach is typical to the Rambam. We've used this throughout, and the Seder HaMishnah always uses this as the organization, the individual Masechto, is that the more something is defined as a given, as opposed to something that's up to you, the more it comes earlier. The earlier it's expressed. So Yibum is not up to you. I mean, it's a chiyad. There's usually no point at which you must take a woman. You must take a woman. If you want to take a woman, you have to marry her. That's Kedusha. It comes all the way to the end. Maybe you don't want to take a woman. But Yibum is out of your control. Therefore, it's placed first. So we have Yibum at the beginning. But the other approach is, because the Tosafos HaRosh brings and so on, is that Yevamos is not really about Yevamos. Yevamos is here in order to define the nature of Erava. Nature of Erava is certainly primal to the study of which women you don't know. First, got to define what women we're talking about before you define how to marry them. You can't possibly talk about Kedushin before you know what is the set of women that are Kedushinable. So Yevamos basically comes to define the set of accessible women. Then you go on to talk about how to deal with those women in terms of Nashim. That makes a lot of sense. Therefore, the first thing that the Gemara does after the Mishnah, according to this, works out beautifully. We actually point out the Mishnah is not constructed around Yevamos. The Mishnah is constructed around Erava. Okay, so now we have Erava in terms of what is most karov to you. According to Tosafos, this goes all the way through, even the in-law relationship, in terms of the Tosafos HaRosh, in terms of what's most karov to you.
Also, you know, say the notion is chosen, because
yes, but chosen is the idea of rebuilding. Oh, exactly. Oh. Right? Rashi says, why is Seder Noshim called chosen? Because chosen means heir. And that's how you get heirs, is through women. But of course, Yibum is the essence of heir. The whole idea of Yibum is Lahakim Shein Lahakim, who is missing an heir. That's the point. Yeah. All right. So, go on. Asks the Gemara, but now let's talk about the language of the Mishnah. We've got the organization of the Mishnah. Something is terribly wrong with the language. When you say, Chamesh Esrei Nashim Potrot, Potrot generally means you don't need to do it. You don't have to do Yibum. Suppose I want to do Yibum. I mean, that's ridiculously misleading, right? Because what you really want to say is that these Nashim make it absolutely prohibited for you to have anything to do with this. Because they're all Arayot, or they're all Tzarot of Arayot. Why would you talk about it in terms of Potrot? Litnei Osrot, or just say straight out, particularly since we've defined the idea over here in the nature of Iser Erava. By the way, the idea of Chamesh Esrei Nashim, as opposed to Chamesh Esrei Arayot, ties into this as well. Why? Because later on the Mishnah says the concept of Arayot. mentions the arayot, the terms of nashim. Why does it begin with nashim? Because we're talking about, indeed, seder nashim. These are the nashim that are accessible. That works out very well. There's other reasons, but we'll get to them. They're more complex. We'll get to them a little bit later. But at least now, why doesn't it just say osrot? Because itana osrot, if it would have just said it's asur, I would have said, aha, in other words, you're telling me there's a problem of doing the yibum. Okay. But that means still I have to deal with the issue of yibum. I'm left with chalitza. Because then you would be stressing what is the barrier to yibum. You're saying, these women are asrot. Ah, okay, so what do I do now? I guess I do chalitza. So therefore it has to say potrot. If it's potrot, I mean, that means there's no chiyav b'cholal. So don't have to worry about chalitza. So kamashmalan, so I would have thought Avamina Asur Liyabeh, but Michlatz Cholza. Kamashmalan, that no, there's nothing. No chiyav. So but then why don't you just say it's Asura, say it's Asura to do chalitza? What do you mean it's Asura? You can't say Asura to chalitza. What's Asura pull somebody's shoe off? What is that supposed to mean? Well, buy coffee. What are you doing wrong by doing chalitza? But you can't. It would be ridiculous to say it asurs you in chalitza. There's no isur involved. Alam alam, why not? Why can't we say it's asur to do chalitza? Because, and it makes sense, if somebody thinks that there's a chiyuv of chalitza in cases of tzarat erva, he may actually come to do yibam. I mean, maybe two generations later, at least a rare occasion, two generations later somebody remembers that his great-great auntie had chalitza. Even though she had fallen to somebody who was mamish an erva, or she was a tzoras erva, so I guess it applies even in those cases. Heck, she's a much better looker than my great auntie. I'll do yibum. Why do chalitza? So come to do yibum of an erva or a tzoras erva. So says the Gemara, but there's still no choice. You can't say asurais. You know why? Because the meaning of asurais would be that there is a concept called a tzarat erva, meaning there is communicatable erva. So that if two women are married to one man, one of whom is an erva on somebody, both his wives become an erva on that somebody, nothing with a brother. In general, there's something about erva that becomes communicated through marriage. That's what the word asurot means. I mean, I need to bring out that the whole point over here is that since there is no chiyuv yibum, therefore you're left with the problem of being a brother's wife. But not that there's a new concept of tzarat erva, that it's possible for a woman to be asura, even though she's not herself related to you, but she's married together with a woman who is to the same guy. There's not such idea before. And it's certainly misleading to say the word asurot, which is mash, is a new concept of extended erva. So I can communicate the fact I'm his daughter, somebody totally unrelated becomes, but his daughter is tzara, that's the same thing as a daughter. Nah, not related to them. So in order to avoid that misconception, the Mishnah therefore says that since m'mokam mitzvah hu de'asir tzara, the whole concept of a tzara is only where there is a mitzvah of yibum. And therefore, since the mitzvah of yibum has been removed because of the potrot tzaroteya, so because of that, you're left with the isra of eshasah. That's the idea over here. But shalom makam mitzvah sharia. If you're not in a makam mitzvah, she's completely mutarat. If we would have said osrot, I would say just the opposite. If in a makam mitzvah there's this new din of communicatable erva, and nonetheless it prevents you from doing this tremendous chiyuv of yibum, kol shekein, if this woman is married to somebody who's not related to you, where it's not a makam mitzvah, absolutely I should be osur in every marrying her. She was married together with my daughter to the same guy. Therefore, I need to say potrot so that nobody gets that misconception. So, okay, let me ask you another thing then. So, why does it say mina chalitza mina yibum? I mean, let it just say mina yibum. I mean, so, mina yibum, I understand that. It means that they're not in the parsha of yibum. They're not the parsha of yibum, so why would they be in the parsha of chalitza? That's not true. The mission needs to establish that. Because itana minyan yibum. Let's say, even if it would have said potrot, I would have said, havamina, there's a p'tur from Yibum, but doesn't mean it's a p'tur from the whole parsha. Avamina michlat chol se yivum elo miyam. I still would have thought that maybe there is a mitzvah. There's no removal of the din of Yibum. It's just a p'tur of doing the act of Yibum itself. Gamash malan that kol ole le Yibum ole le chalitza. You are prejudiced because you know there's a concept of the parsha of Yibum. Parsha of Yibum, either you're in it or you're out of it. But that's because the Mishnah establishes that. The Mishnah is coming to teach us that where there's Yibum, there's chalitza. Where there's no Yibum, there's no chalitza. Chalitza is always an alternative to Yibum. If the Yibum can't be done, neither can the chalitza be done. So, kol ha'olah le'yibum, olah le'chalitza, v'chol she'eino olah le'yibum, eino olah le'chalitza. So now I understand the language, I understand the order, I understand why we mention both Yibum and chalitza. But one thing I don't understand, the organization of Yibum and chalitza. Shouldn't it say, it patas you mina Yibum and mina chalitza, not mina chalitza and mina Yibum? I mean, look, obviously, the Yibum was the essential mitzvah over here. Or for that matter, you know what, don't even mention Yibum. Because once you tell me you're putter from chalitza, so then, I mean, that means you're not in the parasha of Yibum. Obviously. So just say, nami mina chalitza lechud. And then I'll know. You avoided all the problems. I have no avamina I can do chalitza. Certainly don't have an avamina I can do Yibum. Tarsus says, you don't even have to do chalitza. Of course you can invoke a mister. I don't do Yibum. And now everything is fine. Answers the Gemara, the point of mentioning Yibum and chalitza, and then putting chalitza first, is exactly that, to establish that chalitza comes before Yibum. If you had only mentioned chalitza, I wouldn't know chalitza comes before Yibum. I would have said you're saying chalitza in order to make it clear you're not in the parsha of Yibum. Now that you say both Yibum and chalitza, you put chalitza first. You're bedavka telling me it's better to do chalitza than Yibum. And that's the sheet of Abba Shaul, who says later on that nowadays, since Akones Yevimto, he holds that somebody who's Kodesh Yevimto L'Shem Noi, he says she's beautiful, what a great opportunity. Or L'Shem Yishud, he's interested in having a wife, so he's taking her as his wife. But there's no concern for rebuilding the house of his brother. It's to me, says Abba Shaul, it's like he was Pagei Be'erva. He should be Chayev Kares. I mean, not me, but it's Kilu, he's Pagei Be'erva. Therefore, since we don't trust people nowadays, so it's better to do Chalitza rather than Yibum. Therefore, Abba Shaul, the Yom HaMitzvah Chalitza Kodemes HaMitzvah Yibum. Huh? Yeah, no, that's nowadays. It's, not back in the days of Avram Yitzchok Yaakov and Yehuda and Tamar and Ruth and Boaz. You know. We're past those days. It was written after Boaz this time. So, okay, next thing we wonder about is the fact that the Tana finds it necessary to count for us, since we're pretty good at counting. Once we've gotten to Mishnayos, we're already in the fifth grade. So if we're reading now the Mishnayos, we ought to be able to count 15 ourselves. We certainly don't need to count twice. So why does the Mishnah introduce itself with Chamesh Esrei Nashim and end with these Chamesh Esrei Arayot, Poter Tzorot Eim Tzorot Tzorot again, twice? And then, what's the point? So therefore, I want to know, minyana d'reish l'mutimai, minyana d'seif l'mutimai. Whenever we force a count, it's always to say, this is the number, don't think that I'm being loose over here. And there's other things that also could have been included, but I was done of a shear. No. This is the total. And if there's something that you think should be included, then figure out why I'm telling you it's not to be included. So what is it coming to be, mamayit? Well, it's coming to be Mabayat two cases, which we'll see later on, one of which, according to Rav, also patters from Yibum, and one of which, according to Rav Asi, patters from Yibum, and the Mishnah is coming to say, don't listen to the men behind the curtain. Those two do not patter. I mean, of course, they'll have to have another explanation of the Mishnah, otherwise they'd be pretty wiped out with a tiyufta from the Mishnah. But according to us, who don't hold the Rav and Rav Asi, we can assume that that's what the Tana is saying. Pay no attention to Rav and Rav Asi. What are the cases of Rav and Rav Asi? Rav's case is a case where the brother's wife was a sota. So the brother himself wasn't allowed to continue having her as a wife. So as long as she's a sultan, hasn't been proven to be innocent, so he's a surah. She's a surah Allah. In that case, says Rav, she becomes equivalent of an erva. If she has another, if he's married to another woman, that woman is also ptura from Yibum if the brother dies, leaving a sota and another woman. We'll talk about the cases later and what the meaning is and where they learned it out from and so on, the implications. But in any event, the Mishnah is coming to say, no, that's not included. Sota is not one of the 15 women who will pater her tzora from the case of marrying the brother when he dies. Rav Asi is a very interesting case later on, in which a man is married to two women, one of whom is an Ilonit. Since she's an Ilonit, she's not included in the Parsha of Yibum. Says Rav Asi, since she is not included in the Parsha of Yibum, and had you married her, you would have been over on the Yisra of Eshet Ach, because the Torah only allows marriage of a brother's woman who would be fertile to be able to make him shem la'achiv. But if she is an Ilonit, forget the question of the Ilonit in the Mishnah. We're over there. Rashi says we're talking about a Mekach Ta'ut. She said we'll see about later, where she wasn't married at all, and therefore she's out of the picture now that Dafka, if she was the erva, the other becomes Mutarot. Here we're talking about she was an Ilonit. He knew she was an Ilonit. She's, however, not in Parashah of Yibum. So that means we have a curious yet fourth case of where it's possible to have a woman who is your brother's wife, and that is the ptur from Yibum. Because you have a tzora of your brother's wife. What do you mean? But the brother's the one. But she's not Chayavis in Yibum, because she's an Ilonit. You see? So you can have a brother's wife where she was a brother's wife from a mother, and therefore even now, though now she's a brother's wife from a father, she's ptur from Yibum, and will pater because she's your brother's wife. We can have a brother's wife who's an Eshet Achish Lo Hayah Ba'olamo, and she'll pater because she's your brother's wife. We can have a tzora of a tzora who is now going to pater the tzora of a tzora of a tzora because she was your brother's wife, Shalova Makamitsa, the last time that she fell. And now we have yet a fourth case. You do have kids though, right?
Huh?
No, I just wanted to make sure that after we swallow, you hold it.
Don't fall into the...
Because your brother in Vermont probably...
No, I don't need to go for that. No, they take very well to it either.
So I'd advise you, therefore, to get up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to... So we have now a fourth case where the reason that the same brother's wife... Over here, you don't even need the fancy cases. The same brother, the false Yibum, brother from a father, and so on. But she's pure from Yibum because she's an Ilonit. Think she's an Ilonit, says Rav Asi, we can't be also. This, we'll see, so that's the rule. We've just been assuming that throughout the Mishnah. Okay, so according to Rav Asi and according to Rav, we've got two additional cases where there would be a Ptur of Atzor, and you could have said, 17 women, Pater. Therefore, says the Tana, no. 15 women pater. Do you get that? Let me repeat it. 15 women pater, not 17. And why we can't be mamayit both of these cases from the same 15, because 15 is not 16 and 15 is not 17, so it really doesn't matter. Tosfos explains that, but we don't have enough information yet to understand the Tosfos. So let's move on and we will soon get that additional piece of information. Okay, but look... What about Rav and Rav Asi themselves? I mean, there's got to be another explanation of the Mishnah, because obviously Rav and Rav Asi cannot be saying that the Mishnah is coming to exclude them. That would be a little bit sawing off the limb that you're sitting on. I mean, so how would they understand the Mishnah? So the Rav and Rav Asi, Lamuti Mai. Well, if Rav and Rav Asi, both being recalcitrant over here, also approve of the other's recalcitrants, so then, I mean, I don't know why we should think that, but generally people that are off on a limb, they sort of join together, birds of a feather, you know. So if they hold of each other, so then they've got to think up two additional cases that the 15 is coming to exclude one from the ratio, one from the Sefer, right? So what are those two additional cases? Well, One is to be memayet etzarat mima'enet. That was a case where the brother has a wife who is a ketana, and she's a yetoma, so she's only married min rabbanu. She's not even related to you, so she shouldn't be a problem at all. She's not related to you. Insofar as she's related to your brother, min rabbanan, and that she's his wife, we could say that the rabbanan created a chiyuv of yibum as well. And yet, interestingly enough, the halacha is that in mima'enet, because of in people's minds, the thing that stands out about the case of a mima'enet is the fact that she was a mima'enet. Not that she was related and was mima'enet, but this weird thing of having a little girl married to somebody and then walking away through Mian, that's what sticks in people's mind. So therefore, strangely enough, it's very, very strange, because the whole chumrah that we had before, that where you have a mima'enet tzarata, is dafka choletzet v'lo mityabemet kol sheyechola lama'ein, right? All of that is only because people may confuse that with a daughter who was a case where there was a daughter that was actually married. So we want to make it clear that no. Okay, well, since it was me involved, so it's really only the rabbanan. So we don't let you go through with the okay. But over here, what we're going to do is we're going to go in the opposite direction. If people think that a ma'enet, even a stranger, is shyer to yibum, so then they may get confused with actually taking a case where the mima'enet is a daughter. So we made a general rule. Any mima'enet, well, it's weird, even though it's not related, now creates a situation where the other woman also cannot marry you because of the similarity to Tzara's veto, mima'enet. Because there's no way for us to... No, they have to figure out what else would the Mishnah be referring to when it says these cases fater and other cases don't. Right? Because they don't want to say it's their cases that the other case. So they would say, okay, this case of mima'enet, that's not included. That doesn't pater mina yibim mina chalitza. And the other case that doesn't pater is a machzir grushato. Machzir grushato would be a case. Weak. Now, the other case would be where the brother divorced his wife before he died, remarried her before he died, after she had already gone and married somebody else. Again, this is really taking place. So she went ahead and got married to somebody else, got divorced from him. He remarries her, which is an issue of the Uraita. He's not allowed. She goes back illegally to the first time. It's illicit. You can't remarry a woman that was married to somebody else. Very similar to wife swapping. So because of that, it's okay. So now she's asura to him. But despite that, if he has a tzara, she doesn't part of the tzara. It's an isur lav. It's not an isur erva. So that's what it's excluding. 15, but not a mazik grushata. That would be the way Rav and Rav Asi would be learning it. The Elos Virlada, now if Rav and Rav Asi don't support each other's opinion, so then one of the 15 would be to exclude the other one. In other words, Rav would say, certainly the Mishnah is coming to tell me don't believe Rav Asi. Rav Asi becomes, certainly the Mishnah is coming to tell us not to believe Rav. Yeah, and why did it repeat it? Well, because also coming either to tell it be canceled Tzarat Mima'enet or Tzarat Machzir Grushato. But I understand. So the Mishnah lists 15. Right? Lists 15. So you're telling me, according to Rav and Rav Asi, it doesn't say the number 15 to exclude me. Thank you very much, but why doesn't it list you if it means to include you? I mean, there's two levels over here. There's the not listing, which implies exclusion. And then there's going out of your way to repeat a number twice, which doubly implies exclusion. But so you've explained why it mentions the number. Okay, but why is it listed? Why don't you tell me the case of the Ilanit, or tell me the case of the Tzarat Sota, according to Rav? The Mishnah very conspicuously leaves it out. Well, no, you see, you can't list these cases. There's no way. The Mishnah wants to talk about a case where a tzara will pater another tzara. Ad sof kol olam. The only way that such cases come into being, Sir Richard, is where the woman is asura to one brother, but mutara to another brother, who now marries her tzara and creates a tzara tzara. But suppose, by definition, the problem that exists in the marriage of the brother. So if it exists in the marriage of the brother, it will affect equally all of the surviving brothers. So then, by definition, there cannot be a tzara tzara, because none of the brothers could have married her. So why am I going to list in the Mishnah 15 women pater, their tzarot, that's of kalola, and list the case where the brother's wife was an islandess? There's no such thing as a tzara tzara of an islandess. Where she's a sota. There's no such thing as a tzara tzara of a sota. So I can't list it. But it doesn't mean that I come to exclude it, to say it's not true. It's still potus from Yibam. It's just that there's no tzara tzara.
What about second brother marries her illegally?
Tosus asks that kasha even more fundamentally. But you see, we're not talking about that case. Let's assume that we don't talk about the case of illicit for a moment. We'll get to it later on. All right, so we don't have a tzara tzara, and therefore it's not important. The truth is that this was the additional information I told you we needed in order to understand the Tosfos. Because Tosfos says that the fact is, what would we say? That there are 15 women over here. In order to tell me, don't think that this is a case of Tana Bishir, that I left some things out and I didn't say them, right? But so that would have meant I really meant to include these. But Tosis points out, since now we understand there's no way I could have listed these. There's no way I could have listed them because they're not Bitsoras Tsara. So how could I couldn't have said them anyway. Therefore, there's no exclusion at all that is implied by not listing them. Where there's an exclusion that's implied by not listing them and I write a number, then that number comes to tell me, and don't think that I just left some out. But where that's not the issue, I don't think you left some out, I know why you didn't write it, then the number can only exclude one of the things that I couldn't have listed. How do I know it comes to exclude both of the things? Therefore, I need to list the number twice if I want to exclude two things. Three times if I want to exclude three things, and so on. Because normally the entire number is meaningless since I've already noticed that it doesn't list it. So I only come to tell me the number is there to say I mean what I write. But in this case, we always knew you meant what you wrote because we couldn't have listed it, since it wouldn't have been included in Sarat Sarah. Therefore, if I'm excluding by the number, it's not because the number says I mean what I write. It's because 15 and not 16. And then I need another 15 to tell me 15 and not that 16. See? Beautiful terrace. Really stunning. It's stunning in its simplicity. I hope you appreciate it. It really is. It's extremely, extremely elegant. To note that numbers don't necessarily exclude more than one thing unless the exclusion comes from the very fact that it's not listed in the Mishnah. Then the number is telling me, I mean precisely the number that I wrote. It cannot be the case in this case, right? I give them such beauties. What is it? Kinezim Zahav Bafkas, you know, that's for sure. That's nicer. All right. Now, the next thing that we want to know is, how do we know all of this, by the way? How do we know that a woman who is an erva doesn't fall to Yibum, doesn't fall to Chalitza, creates a situation of Tzara, and that Tzara becomes a self-asura and creates a Tzara? How do we know all of that? We know anyway. The Tanarabana, the case of, and here is our model that we kept talking about before, of Isha el Achota Lotika, do not take your woman with her sister, litzoror, as a tzora. You don't want your sister, your wife and her sister to both be married to you. It's bad enough to have one of them. Legalot ervata aleha bechaya. Now, what is legalot ervata aleha bechaya? I mean, the Litzor already says that. Co-wives, not a good idea. So legalot ervata aleha, I mean, just say legalot ervata if you want to include it in the parasha of Arayot. But aleha matamud lomar. What's the point of saying aleha? Lefisha ne'emar yivama yavo aleha. Since when the Torah introduces the parasha of Yibum, it uses the word aleha. Since the etzed nature of Yibam is that it cancels Erva, by definition, can't exist without Erva, maybe it would actually be chal on every Erva, even an Erva that's not innate to Yibam. In this case, the brother happens to be married to your daughter. But nonetheless, the Torah is saying, you shall take your daughter, the same way it's saying, you shall take your sister-in-law, in order to be making zera la'achicha. Therefore, says the Torah, Talmud Nefer, we say over here, that ne'emar kan aleha, no, the Torah said, yevamo yavo aleha, and ne'emar la'alan aleha. Now, when it says, I mean, aleha, rather by acquisition, it says by the yevamo yavo aleha, ma'alan b'moka mitzvah, is aleha moka mitzvah? Yeah, that's Yibam. Yibam o yibam aleha. Afkan the moka mitzvah. When it says, lo tikach, legalot ervata aleha, it means even in the case of the aleha, of yibam o yibam aleha, don't you dare. So it's telling you that Yibam does not counter the isra of the achos ishto. Even that erva, it will not counter. And therefore, I learn out all the other arayot from this case. Now, how do I know? In the Elahi, how do I know? I understand the Torah is saying, don't take her if she falls to Yibam. How do I know not even to take a co-wife of her married to the brother who is now deceased? But even she falls not to Yibam. Talmud lomar litzuror. Therefore, it says to be litzuror. Here it says, Shalachotah lo tikach litzror, to tell me to create a tzara aleha. Ein yela tzarata, tzarat tzarata minayin. So how do I know this goes a step beyond? Talmud lomar, not only latzur, but litzror. Velo latzur, could have just said latzur, which is the lashon of tzara. Litzror is double tzaras, a tzara of a tzara. Is this only Achotisha that it does, if she falls to Yibam, that the Yibam is cancelled for her and for her Tzora? Shar Arayot Binayim. How do I know that this is true of any Erva that falls to Yibam? Amret. Ma Achotisha Miuchedet. Look, let's take a look at what defines an Achotisha. An Achotisha is an Erva, A. It's also of the Sug of Erva that Chayavina Zdona Karet. Furthermore, it's the sug of erva that chayav al shigigata chatat, and given that it's automatically asur liyavam, af kol sheerva chayav nasdan acharet al shigigata chatat asur liyavam. We now have a basically mamatzino ve'im liyalahin tzorotei minayim. So okay, I understand the erva is asura. How do I know that erva creates a tzora? Same thing. Ma achot isha miyuchedet sheerva. And ashis asur liyavam, and because of that tzarata zasura, af koshi erva chayav zana karet shkatatat yasur liyavam. It follows that tzarata asura, and this is the source of our Mishnah. Mikan amru chamesh chachamim, chamesh esrei nashim, which are the total list of the women that could be married to your brother from a father who are all chiyuve karet on you. And the din is over there, that they are themselves part of Yibum, and they're potrot zerotahim, potrot zerotahim, mina kalitzel, mina Yibum, ad sof olam. Now, yokol sha'ani marbeh, sheish arayot chamurot b'yelo. There's another six arayot missing that we left out of the Mishnah. Now we're going to take a look on Daf Yud Gimel. Let's take a look at that Mishnah, read it now so we can see what it is it's referring to, since the The didactors of the Gemara make a foolish assumption that people actually knew the Mishnayos before they were reading the Gemara, just in case anybody didn't do that. Let's take a look at the next Mishnah. Now there's Sheish Arayot Chamorot Mi'ela. There are Sheish Arayot that are so chamor that they couldn't even be married to your brother anyway. And they're not listed in the Mishnah. The reason they're not listed in the Mishnah is mentioned in Surot La'achirim. They are married to other people, not to your brother, because by definition, if you have that father, then the brother that falls to Yibam has to have the same father. And since the following six arayot would always be usur on your brother exactly the way they're usur to you, there's no way that they can fall to you in Yibam, and there's no way, therefore, that they can create a case of tzara, because the case of tzara is only created in the context of Yibam. Therefore, the following six women, because they are married to other people and not to your brother, curiously enough, do not communicate their issur to their tzara. Again, because there is no such thing as communicatable erva. There's only the fact that there's no chiyuv of yibum. Okay, this is the way the Rambam learns, Rashi learns, Tosfos learns, most achronim understand the sugya. There are, however, indications later on in the Gemara, and we'll see that there are Rishonim that speak out beferish, that there is a concept of a Isser called Tzarat Erva, which is a separate Isser, and is not simply Achot, Eshet Achicha Shelo B'Mokam Mitzvah. We'll see where we get to that, how they deal with the sugyas, some entire brisker rub on this issue, about a new concept of the curse that goes on the Erva, applying to the Tzarat Erva, which is supplied grist for the mills of the Achronim for a long time. We'll get to that discussion later on when we reach the point where it's Nogea in Israel Lav and so on. But right now, let's take the simple highway approach. You could take the low one. And the highway will tell you these six arayot, since they're not married to your brother, cannot create a case of tzora, even if they're married at the same time to another human being. That Isser is not included on you, and they are your mother. So if it's your mother, your brother can't be married to her either. Now, we saw earlier when we started the mission, that's not really true, la halacha. Your brother can be married to your mother. Because we paskin, not like Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin that a son can marry a woman who had a casual relationship with his father. So it may be your mother, you little, we won't say it, it may be your mother, but it ain't your brother's father's wife. We were listening to that in Finland outside of the shopping center. So the Sheish Arayot Hamur Mielo include the mother only if you hold that your father's non-wife is usur on your brother too. But we don't pass like that. So your mother can't fall to you for Yibum, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Your father's wife, that's for sure, that's true according to anybody. Your father married a woman, even though that woman is not related at all to you or to your brother, she's related as an erva, as much to you and your brother, the Torah Aser is one of the arayos. Your father's sister, and since the only brother that will fall to Yibum is a brother from the same father, it's got to be the sister from the same father. Therefore, it can't fall to you through your brother. Achoto me'aviv, your sister through a common father. Again, that means that it would have to be your brother's sister. So how could he be married to her? The eshet achi aviv, furthermore, your auntie, that is to say, your father's brother's wife is just as much dodato of the brother as it is of you, so he can't be married to her. The eshet achiv me'aviv, and your brother's wife, assuming that you shared the same father, and were ba'olamo, and so on, there's no way that your brother could ever have married a woman who was once married to a brother that wasn't b'makom yibum. So therefore, all of these cases will never fall to you, b'yibum, and therefore will never create a case of tzara. We'll see, actually, as far as Scott is concerned, that cases where somebody married one of these women illicitly do not create an Isser of Sarah because there's no marriage at all.
It's not
exactly. There's no kalos in karet specifically. We'll get to the difference between the karets and the cases of the law, and the question whether everybody agrees that karet is never shayach to kedushin, all of that later. So that, therefore, when the Gemara now asks, you might think that this concept of tzara appears even in a case of the Shesh Arayot Hamurot Me'ela. And what would be that? That would be talking about a case. Says Tosis, you might as well have said, you might think that I'm Mar B'Shelo B'Mokam Mitzvah. In other words, that tzara is a concept in and of itself. Now, that's basically the same thing. The Rambam, however, lists it as Scott's case. You might think that if a brother is married illicitly to the Shesh Arayot, that would create a case of Tzora, Kamash Malan. No, let's take a look. Therefore, I need you to know that there's no such thing. Let's, how do we get there? Ma'achot ishtom yuchedet. Shierva. V'chayavinas dona karet. V'shigyatach hatat. But here's the additional piece. What is also that we've ignored until now is one of the criteria to compare something to an achotisha is the possibility of her being married to your brother from your father. So therefore, she's a Suraliyavim. She creates a tzara. The only mamatzino would be therefore to that case. Afkol shiyerva. But here's the essential addition. She could be, in a case, married to your brother from your father. Then we can conclude. The asuralia ben tsarata asura. But yatsu shesh arayot hamurot mielu. The other six arayot do not fall into this set of mamatzinot. Because hoyel di ev shalina se laachim. Since they could never be married to the brother, just as they can't be married to you, by definition we have no limud of tzara, and tzaroteo mutarot, which teaches us that ein tzara ela mi'ach. So I now know there's no yibum. Okay, and how do I know what onesh there is if I take this woman? Onesh shaman, but azhara shamanu. How do we know what the punishment is for such a thing? That if you were miyavim an erva or a tzara, that you're chayev? Omar kro. Ki kol asher yaseh, mikol ha-toevot, anybody who does any of the above toevot ha-eile, which includes the litzror of the achot isha, in a case of aleha, v'nichritu, it says beferish over there nirkratu anefashot haosot. So we now know that in the case of aleha, there's a chiyuv of karet, which would apply even in a makom of mitzvah, which would be true not only of the above listed erva, but also of the tzara and tzara tzara of the above listed arayot. Only be makom mitzvah, of course. And now hakol sharir v'kayam qed. To be continued. Continues the Gemara. So over here, it's Iker Yisrael Ba'adek, whereas Vito Iker Yisrael Midrash, the Omer Ova Amalim of Yisrael Ba'adek, Ake, Ina, Ina, Ake, Zima, Zima, Hash, the Amir Kom Yolta, the Ate Midrash Chaviv Alei. Why isn't Akot Isha Lebesav? Because Aire, the Aire, the Yisrael, Akvata, Atan Akot Isha, so it's Nayon Lahayk Bava Lebesav. Ella, the fact is that the Tan is going in the organization of Korvi Kofenaka. Tana bito, bat bito, bat beno. That's krovei atzma. I did the tana shlosha dorot lamata didei. Tana nami shlosha dorot lamata dida. I did the tana shlosha dorot lamata dida. Tana shlosha dorot lamala dida. The tana achoto, and then achotimo, which are also krovei atzma, fraternal relations. I did the aire be iser achva. It already mentions achot ishto at this point. Ubedinu, the lichta malakalato. Mikame eshet achiv shelo hayal v'alma, delo mishum kurva, el aile de arabi sarach, v'tana eshet achiv shelo hayal v'alma. No, v'hada tana kalato, umay aire de tana potrot, Litli oskot, it's anasot, I mean, osuliyabe, but still michvat chotza, gomarshma. Okay, so then, say, asura lachlots. What do you mean, asura lachlots? My covet. Why not? Imatomer chotza bidyabemet. The point over here is, that kimen de bamakam mitzvah, with the asir tzora. Vishalot bamakam mitzvah sharia. If it would have said osrot, it would have meant there's a new isser. Therefore, it says potrot, and memela, there's an isser. Umay ayre the tanya mina chalitza mina yibum lisnei mina yibum lechudei because itana mina yibum avam mina mechlat chotzi yibum ala miyama kamashvan kol ala yibum ala lechalitza v'choshein ala yibum mina ala lechalitza v'lisnei mina yibum u'mina chalitza inami mina chalitza lechuda. It's going according to Abba Shor to teach us that mitzvat chalitza kodemet lemitzvat yibum. Minyana the Rachel Mutumai, Minyana the Sefer, Nemu'ute Mai, Nemu'ute the Rav and the Ravasi. And what about according to Rav and Ravasi, you certainly don't exclude themselves. Silamu'ute Mai, Rav and Ravasi, again, it's Tzoras Sota and Tzoras Islands. So what about according to them? Lumu'ute Mai, Lumu'ute Tzorat Mima Enet, one, Vechon Lumu'ute Tzorat Mazir Glushato, and he lost your Ludada, this is Chon is Lumu'ute, the other guy. And according to Rav and Ravasi, why indeed do we leave them out of the Mishnah? By definition, since they're a problem in the brother's marriage, not in the relationship to you. What's this aleha matamin loma? Ah, the fishin emar yavamo yavo aleha. Shomei ani afil biachar bikol arayot amurot baturah katub medaber. Just like la'alan of Yibam is b'makom mitzvah, here to litzror aleha is the galot ervata even b'makom mitzvah. And yet the Torah is saying, Omer Rachmana lo tikach, ein li ela yi tzarata. Minayim? Tamad omer litzror. Ein li ela tzarata. Tzarat tzarata. Minayim? Tamad omer litzror v'lo latzur alon. In the Elachotisha, Sha'ar Arayot Minayin, Amit Machotisha Mikhrishi Erva Vahemus and Akarei, Vashgata Khatat Yasuli Yavam, Avkoshu Erva Vahemun Azan Akarei, Vashgata Khatat is also a Suli Yavam. In the Elahin Trotei Minayin, Amit again, Machotisha Mikhrishi Erva, Vahemun Azan Akarei, Vashgata Khatat, Vi Asuli Yavam, the din is that Sarata Asura, Avkoshu Erva Vahemun Azan Akarei, Vashgata Khatat, the Suli Yavam. לדין צרת האסורה מכאן אמרו חכמים 15 נשים פותרות צרותיהן צרות צרותיהן מן החליצה מן היבום עד סוף העולם יוכל שנים הרבה אף שיש עריות חמורות מאלו חמורות in the sense that they could never end up married to your brother either שיהיו צרותיהן אסורות simply because they're married to some guy together with the ערבה אמרת what was the whole basis of the לימוד החותישה but מה החותישה מיוחדת של ערבה ואפשר לנסה לאחים by definition ואסורה לידיהם אין צרתה אסורה אף קושי הרבה חיוב ונוזדון הקרק השגתה חתת ואפשר לנסה לאחים אין שיש אסורה לידיהם only then צרתה אסורה יוצר שש הריות חמורות מאלו הוא by definition אי אפשר לנסה לאחים צרותיהם מותרות שאין צרה אלא באח. As a Rosh Hashanah on Shminai, or Ma'akroki call Shasher Yaseh Nikola Tovot Ha'ele V'Nichretu Anefeshot Ha'Osot.